living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
So can CoQ10, coenzyme Q10, treat Gulf War Syndrome? We haven't heard a lot about the Gulf War Syndrome recently. It was, in the news a lot, maybe 5 to 10 years ago. However, a significant number of veterans still suffer from the symptoms associated with this syndrome. And so it's kind of nice to see some research looking at natural things like CoQ10 in treating some of these symptoms. Now, we still don't ultimately know what causes Gulf War Syndrome. We do believe it's probably linked to exposure to something, whether that was a weaponized toxin, gas, bacteria, or even things that we did to the troops to prepare them for war, vaccinations, for instance. So we don't really know what's causing it, but it does seem to be linked to damaged mitochondria. Those are the powerhouses in the cell, the cells that make ATP. And the reason we think that is many of the symptoms kind of mirror symptoms that we see in people with mitochondrial disorders. Symptoms like malaise, muscle pain, which is called myalgia, fever-like symptoms, exercise-induced fatigue, insomnia, cognitive problems, memory issues, mood issues. These are kind of vague symptoms, it's true, but they could all be linked to the ability to generate appropriate amounts of cell energy, ATP. So that's why a lot of doctors are thinking Gulf War Syndrome is associated with mitochondrial damage. Out of 697,000 troops who served during that war, about 35%, 250,000, have reported symptoms that would fall under the Gulf War Syndrome. But yet, even today, there's no formal definition of it. Matter of fact, in medicine, for insurance purposes, for keeping diagnoses on a standard scale, we use what is called the diagnostic codes. It's called an ICD manual. So even if you go in with, blood pressure has an ICD number, heart disease, they all have these numbers. And the Gulf War Syndrome has a special non-diagnostic code. It doesn't really even fall in the manual. So even today, although we think it's associated with mitochondrial damage, based on those symptoms, we're really not sure. And there's really no formal definition of Gulf War Syndrome to date. So a lot of questions remain. What really is it? What is causing it? Why are the symptoms so different in people and in some of the troops that have suffered Gulf War Syndrome? Some of them have very mild, symptoms, to some having devastating symptoms to the point where they're disabled from it. And so we don't really know why. Why is it chronic in some? Some troops had Gulf War Syndrome for maybe a year or so afterwards, but it seemed to clear up on its own. Yet it's chronic in others. So there's so many questions about this, so many unknowns. I think we need to keep it in the media. We need to keep talking about it because, as I said, 250,000 troops, American troops are, I think that's worldwide troops, are suffering from this syndrome. So I do think we need to continue to talk about it and research it. From the Regional Advisory Council in 2005, they went over their manual to the United States Congress. On page 70, they published a nice chart of the different symptoms and how prevalent were these symptoms. So the number one symptom in Gulf War Syndrome was memory issues. Number two was fatigue. Number three was muscle and joint symptoms. The fourth one was nerve problems, like nerve pain, neuropathic pain, sharp-type pains. And then from there were all kinds of other, there were gastrointestinal symptoms, sleeplessness, they were all there. But those were the four most common symptoms. What was interesting, though, and this is what caught my eye in this chart, was that these symptoms were different based on which country the person was coming from, you know. You know, memory issues were highest, I think, like in the United States and UK, but not so high for some other countries. Isn't that interesting? Like, what's going on there? And then the last one that really caught my eye was the fact that troops in the United States with Gulf War syndrome have a much higher risk of developing tumors. You know, tumors of solid organs like liver and kidney, far greater than any other country. That's just interesting to me. Like, what is going on? You know, and it's interesting because when you really look at how the troops were prepared to go into that area, they were given the same vaccinations. They were protected from certain risks of, you know, weaponized gas and toxins. So they were protected from those things with shots and stuff, and they were all dealt with the same way. Yet we have this array of symptoms. It's different in different countries. It's just really interesting to me, and so it just shows you how much we don't really know about Gulf War syndrome. So let's go to this CoQ10 study that I want to share with you. This was published in the journal Neurocomputation. And what they did was a double-blind trial looking at CoQ10 and relieving symptoms of Gulf War syndrome. You know, what they found was that among participants who received 100 milligrams of ubiquinol CoQ10, now they used a specific type of CoQ10 here from PharmaNord. That's a company that does make a ubiquinol CoQ10. That's the form of CoQ10 we want to be taking. They were actually given a placebo or 100 milligrams of ubiquinol CoQ10 or 300 milligrams of ubiquinol CoQ10. And it was only the 100 milligram group that really benefited. That's also interesting to me in all this. You would think that the higher the dose would be a little bit better. You know, we see the higher the dose of CoQ10 in heart failure, for instance, or in cognitive issues and cancers does better. But in this case, it was the lower dose. As a matter of fact, the 100 milligram CoQ10 group did better than placebo and the 300 milligram group, and they experienced an 80% improvement in physical function that was associated with increasing blood levels of the coenzyme. Headache, fatigue with exertion, irritability, memory, and muscle pain also improved among those who received the 100 milligrams CoQ10. Those improvements were significant compared to the other groups. Now, the 300 milligram group did improve somewhat, but not this, not at this 80% rate. So 80% of those on the 100 milligram group improved significantly. The 300 milligram group, it was like maybe 50% improved, but they weren't statistically significant improvements. So interesting that the 100 milligram group seems to be the right dose here. The researchers plan to test a mitochondrial cocktail, and this is interesting, of CoQ10 and other nutrients in a future study. I don't know what this cocktail is going to be made up of. I could probably guess. If I could make suggestions, I would love to be involved in developing that cocktail, because I think pyroloquinoline quinone, PQQ, should be in that. Curcumin should be in that. Maybe D-ribose should be in that. Carnitine. Those would be some nutrients that I would love to suggest to be in this CoQ10, or I'm sorry, this mitochondrial cocktail, to see if we can improve symptoms even further to where we get 100% of the participants improving. So Gulf War syndrome, it's still out there. 250,000 troops. We don't really know the cause yet today. It has no specific definition. We know the symptoms. Different in different countries, very interesting to me, but it looks like it might be linked to the mitochondria. So I really do hope they do this research with this mitochondrial cocktail. So if you have Gulf War syndrome, think about at least 100 milligrams of CoQ10. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.